Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Do you guys think Diddy's going to jail?
Are we going there today?
He got arrested. If you had not seen all the stuff before, there was a lot of accusations. He straight up got caught with 1,000 bottles, they said, of baby oil and personal lubricant, as they called it. AR-15s with like the serial number scratched off. He's offered $40 million to get, he wants bail. He said, I'll put up $40 million to get bail. I'm like, he's the biggest flight risk I've ever heard of. He could just get on a jet and be gone.
Well, they can still, they can take it, revoke his passports or whatever. But like, the stuff you brought up there is just the weird stuff.
Well, those were apparently to stock his freak offs party.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, that's the weird stuff. You were like, whatever, hey, is he going to, the other stuff, He's screwed.
Yeah.
It sure looks like it. Yes. I didn't know we were going there today. You know, we'll just talk about that the rest of the show. I'm sure Nate Taylor would love to talk about Sean Combs instead of the Chiefs. Hey, Nate, what's going on? Our Chiefs insider from The Athletic.
What's your favorite Diddy song?
Oh, gosh.
Don't
put him in that spot.
Don't do that. Come on.
Don't do that. We will not discuss that with you. I wanted to start.
Thank the Lord.
Yeah, I wanted to start with the individual that is in town today, reportedly, and that is one Kareem Hunt. We obviously know the background there, and he was cut and lied to the team, the video, all that from 2018. But it looks like he's going to sign with the team. Is that going to happen today?
I believe so, gentlemen. I believe if everything goes well, he will sign to the practice squad. And you can even see Kareem Hunt in a Chiefs uniform as soon as next week, right? I mean, this is quite the way the season has moved so far, even just through two games. It just quite tells you how fast things move in the NFL. But it was interesting, Alex, that Andy Reid said, well, I'm going to roll with the guys I have, which is obviously Samaje Perine and rookie Carson Steele. But, Brett Veach is going through his list, whatever the list is. And I'm like, the list is like four players. Like, is Jerick McKinnon wanting to come back now or maybe later in the season if given an opportunity? And, Kareem Hunt's been working out. And so here we are. I guess Kareem is going, I don't know if the workout's still continuing. I believe it may have already happened today. So you do the workout, you do the physical. You have a nice chit chat, and if everything goes well, he'll be with the team on the practice squad as early as tomorrow. Again, if everything goes well, and I haven't heard anything different since this morning.
Maybe this is a silly ask, and I assume it means he'll end up on the active roster eventually. But with three open spots on the 53-man, why not just put him on the roster, Nate? Like, are there three other guys they're planning on elevating before Sunday?
Well, I think that's something that they are discussing, at least as of yesterday. Again, the plan, I believe, from what I've heard, is that to ease him into, to acclimate him into football activities, because, again, like, he had no training camp, obviously had no preseason. Andy Reid's going to, try to do the best by Kareem, let me give you a week or two. Let me get you back in the swing of things, obviously the playbook, how much that's changed in, the last 6-7 years. Of course, then he's got to get through, just the normal, hey, what role can we get you to sooner rather than later so that you may have a couple snaps, obviously be dressed for the following game against the Los Angeles Chargers, who, by the way, could be 3-0 against 3-0. Mm-hmm. You know, and so, hey, how can we get you available to be a rotational player in that game? Obviously, then you have the bye week, and then, of course, you could obviously side him to the active roster at that point, if that is your prerogative. I just get the sense that the Chiefs know that they can obviously elevate guys from the practice squad for Sunday night's game against the Atlanta Falcons, but they don't necessarily have to do that anyway, just based on the entire roster being healthy outside of Pacheco and Hollywood Brown, knowing that you have to put guys on the inactive list anyway. So it's one way to, like, small percentage-wise save some money, I guess. But at the same time, they're going to try to give Kareem a more natural, you know, leading up to his first ever snap in his return to the Chiefs. Again, if everything goes well. So they don't have to rush it because it's only week two. But there are certain things you can do for a running back to get him up to speed faster than maybe a receiver or a defensive back.
So what do you think the room just looks like? And let's fast forward 3 weeks and he's there. At that point, Clyde's eligible. Doesn't mean he will, but he's eligible to come off the NFI list. We know Carson Steele and P. Ryan. Do you think it's just going to be a ride the hot hand running back by committee? Like at any point this season, do you envision any of those names getting anywhere near the type of touches that Isaiah Pacheco was in terms of number wise?
Right. So just for context purposes, I mean, it was clear the Cincinnati Bengals were like, we dare you to beat us left-handed, right? We dare you to actually hand the ball off to Isaiah Pacheco, you know, 25 times. And the Chiefs pretty much almost did it. But I don't think we're going to see anybody get more than, what, 14, 15, maybe 18 carries. If, like you say, you get the hot hand on against a certain opponent on a certain day. My anticipation of this is, the Chiefs, this is even back during the offseason, hey, we would love to have four really good running backs, just like we love to have four capable tight ends, right? The problem is they really only had two, and that included Clyde Edwards-Helaire at the start of training camp. Now, nobody knew that Carson Steele was going to be this good, this fast, but the Chiefs would still like to do him a service and be a traditional guy that comes in as a change of pace, short yardage. Hey, if we need a fullback, if we need an extra guy, or just someone to spell someone, that's supposed to be Carson Steele. Carson Steele's, like, half his job is supposed to be special teams, right?
Sure.
Not being the leading running back. So you could bring Clyde Edwards-Helaire back as, like, the secondary guy. If you want to have Kareem Hunt take the majority of the carries, that still allows you to have Samaje Perine as your third down back, who can also fill in on special teams if needed, and can give you a better receiving option than either Carson Steele or Clyde Edwards-Helaire or Kareem Hunt. But I do think if everything was to go as ideal as you possibly can, considering this injury to Pacheco, hey, you'd have all four guys dressed. That way you have four different options. But leading the way, again, if he's healthy, if he's back into the swing, if he looks good, would be Kareem Hunt as your number one back, and then you have options sort of behind him so that he doesn't have to take, you know, 18 to 20 carries, because that would be asking a lot from him, despite the fact that, again, he really has not been with the team since last season.
I assume you're doing the same thing we're doing, which is going back and watching some of the Browns tape from last year. Do you think Kareem Hunt is still good?
There's a chance because of the interior offensive line, and if Jawan get back to some consistent level in terms of his play, and who knows who's going to be left tackle, right? I do think the likelihood is that Kingsley Suamataia is the starter Sunday night against the Atlanta Falcons, but there's a chance offensive line and with, you know, either the what the Chiefs have shown these first 2 weeks is that really Noah Gray is very good at blocking, coming across the formation, crashing down on guys, obviously getting certain angles if you want to do some counter plays. But obviously, they could just sort of hand him the ball in single back formations, him be Kareem Hunt, and just let him go forward because he is capable of getting yards after contact. That is one of the biggest differentiators between someone like Zach Moss on Sunday, who was pretty bad for the Cincinnati Bengals, and someone like Isaiah Pacheco, who can make a two-yard gain be a 4 or 5 yard gain. That's all you're going to be asking from Kareem Hunt. Hey, maybe you get the occasional splash play, but can you lean and fall forward in a way that it doesn't put the entire burden on Patrick Mahomes, you know, getting you out of 3rd-and-10 situations? because of how good the offensive line is, there is a chance with fresh legs, with all the motivation, knowing that this is probably the twilight of his career, the Chiefs have the chance to maybe squeeze the last bit of good juice out of the legs of Kareem Hunt. Again, if he's healthy, if he stays on the right path, and obviously can make it through multiple games. I think that was an issue he had last year too, was, hey, because of the Nick Chubb injury, we gave you all these carries, and his production sort of started to deteriorate, which is why he wasn't on a team this offseason.
We're talking to Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from The Athletic. You briefly mentioned the left tackle spot. What's your read on that? We were, of course, listening to Andy just like you yesterday, and for him to say that, I still don't think they make the switch to Wanye, because all offseason, clearly it was Kingsley. There wasn't really a competition, yeah. And after 1 week, right, they're going to flip on the rookie. I think that would be a huge move.
Yes. You know, even talking to some people, you know, like Jeff Schwartz, who I referenced in my article today in The Athletic, he believes Kingsley's going to be the starter, you know, against the Falcons. I think Travis Kelce sort of gave that indication, too. I asked him after the game, hey, what are you saying to Kingsley? How do you encourage him? And so I think for the most part, it's a lot easier for Wanye Morris and Kingsley Suamataia to kind of stay in their roles right now, right? It was very clear to me that Kingsley was like, I need to prepare better so that I'm better capable of having my play be more consistent. It's not a level of talent. It's quite clear to me, guys, even in the limited snaps we saw of Wanye Morris, it's not like Wanye Morris comes in the game and the playbook all of a sudden starts to expand. It actually goes differently. It actually shrinks a little bit because of his limitations from his athleticism. Now, I think it's an onus on the coaching staff, most notably Andy Reid and Matt Nagy, and I'll ask this question later in the week, but like, for everyone who says, hey, give that kid chip help, they really didn't do it in the most important times of the second half. And with a Pro Bowler like Trey Hendrickson, he sort of figured out ways to counteract anything that Kingsley did or any mistake he made in his pass sets, his footwork, his hand placement, his punch. He had all the answers. So, you know, I know the Atlanta Falcons are going to see that on film, which means you got to clean up your technique. But you also have to get better at coaching now that Pacheco is not going to be on the field, and he was the guy that you were mostly using chip help to help Kingsley. You need to get Samaje Perine. You need to get guys ready to help him if necessary, or you need to get in more two tight end formations where the tight end is actually attached to the left tackle, so that there's just not a clear one-on-one if you know you have to drop back in a certain situation. So it's going to take some adjusting from the coaching staff, just as much as it is going to be, hey, can Kingsley play better? Can he prepare himself better for these sort of situations against really talented pass rushers? But at the same time, you have all these other avenues at your disposal, right? I think some people look at the throwing chart of Patrick Mahomes this past Sunday, right, and all those green dots either near the line of scrimmage or behind the line of scrimmage. That is a way to sort of relieve the pressure on a offensive tackle who's young in his second career game. You're going to have to continue to do that, but you're going to have to get more creative with your screens, your jet sweeps, the occasional playing off of that, which is show one thing to the defense, then go over the top. If you get a certain look that you like, there's a lot of things that they can do, but I think Kingsley is the more talented athlete. Kingsley is the better prospect. That's why you took him in the second round, right? The only way he can really improve is honestly by playing. So it would be a really discouraging sign if Andy Reid said, actually, I need Wanye to start against the Atlanta Falcons, because the Atlanta Falcons don't have anybody like Trey Hendrickson, despite the fact that they look to be a better defense than they were a year ago.
Nate, I'm curious because, like, obviously we watch Kansas City and we just watched the lowest passing output in a healthy game in Patrick Mahomes' yep. career. There are only 5 300-yard passers for the first 2 weeks this season. There were 15 last year. Through 2 weeks, 300-yard passers. What do you think's happening with offense in the NFL? Is this just the cover two still taking it by storm? A downtick? Why is offense so stymied early on here? Because I don't think the Chiefs are alone in this. I think this is a league-wide thing.
Yeah, I do think there's a league-wide issue, and I have a couple points as to a theory as to why I think this is happening, right? The first one is, guys, I've said this before, and I will continue to say it. We don't have – this is a job for 32 men. We ain't got 32 of them.
Yeah, okay? Like
we barely got 12, okay? We barely got 12. guys, listen to me right now. In the top 10 discussion, is Baker Mayfield and Derek Carr full stop?
Probably Geno Smith?
The best. Yeah, and Geno Smith. Sure, put him in the list. Like, we don't have 32 good quarterbacks. Hell, we don't even have 16, okay? We're scratching for the 14th and the 15th guy right now. Part of that is also because rookies are playing earlier than they should ever do. And offensive line play is down, so you can't necessarily protect and throw the ball as deep as you want against those, you know, shell coverages, cover four, cover two, inverted cover six if you need to. I also think, too, because guys aren't playing in the preseason, all the pre-snap penalties, all the formation issues, all the, you know, getting in the huddle, getting the play call, get up to the line of scrimmage so that your rookie quarterback can actually discern what the hell he's looking at before the snap of the ball. When you don't do that in the preseason, the first games in the regular season really speed up everybody's clock because this is not training camp, guys. This isn't just some normal practice on. The other team is trying to beat the crap out of you, and defenses have gotten really good, at least through the first 2 weeks, at actually tackling. And so I think what defensive coordinators are figuring out is, hey, if we just show most of these quarterbacks, you will not throw the ball over the top of us, then most of the offensive coaches are adjusting to say, okay, well, let's get our guys the ball in space. And you know what you do with that? You rally and you tackle. And most defenses, at least through 2 weeks, are rallying and tackling. And because you have young receivers who, again, have not played before in the league, hey, Malik Nabers, love you to death. God, I need you to catch that ball late in the fourth quarter. Hey, I know Isaiah Likely's really good at this whole tight end thing. Kind of needs you to be in bounds, or at least be in a position where you're where you can help your quarterback in a late game situation. Or hey, you know, when Lamar Jackson throws you a absolute gorgeous throw in the last minute against the Las Vegas Raiders, I need you to catch the ball, son. That's how we get points up. That's how we get yards per attempt up. So it's a number of things, but I think defenses are tackling better. We do not have 16 good quarterbacks in this league, which is crazy. And hey, some of the receivers can do a better job of catching the ball, making a guy miss. But the defense coordinators have an upper hand right now, and it's up to the offensive players and coaching staff to sort of figure out how we can get more explosive plays so that defenses are not sort of dictating the tempo this early in September. That is normally not the case. Defenses usually catch up in like October, around week six, week seven, week eight, because they've actually seen what you have on tape. This time around, it's just defense being like, cool, he's not going to throw it deep. Great. I can jump routes. I can tackle and rally and know I have multiple guys behind me who are able to tackle. And oh, by the way, the quarterbacks stink.
We got Nate Taylor from The Athletic, our Chiefs insider, joining us here on Cody and Gold on 96.5 The Fan. What are you seeing from Travis Kelce? I know nationally in particular has been conversation about him. We know the production hasn't been there 2 weeks in the season, but I felt like he was getting open yesterday, or 2 days ago, I guess it's been, against Cincinnati. So should people be worried?
No. Stop it.
I'm with you.
Okay. It's okay. Look.
I'm not worried.
We got fantasy. We got, you know, betting involved. Should the Chiefs have won that game on Sunday? No. Are you happy they did? Sure. Did they beat them by the point spread? No. But this is the thing that I think, it's a new reality, and also because Travis is healthy, it's not like something we can just immediately point to and say, well, oh, he's coming off the ankle or the knee injury that he had last year. I think what Travis Kelce's doing is pretty smart. He's actually focusing more on being a decoy, trying to be a good blocker. Obviously, he had a great block on Xavier Worthy's first touch that obviously went for a touchdown against the Baltimore Ravens. He's actually been open, as you say, Mr. Gold, quite a bit. When I look at the All-22, I'm like, oh, that's normal Travis Kelce. We haven't even gotten to, like, fun Travis Kelce yet, which is, hey, okay, here are the routes that I actually did in training camp, and here are the routes that, like, I haven't shown yet. So they've won two games despite Patrick not really playing well, despite Travis Kelce not really being a focal point in the offense, which I think is fine because as long as he's healthy in November, December, and January, the offense has a stabilizing force that will allow you to obviously be in any game against any quality opponent. So even though Travis had a chance to score a touchdown, I would like to remind people that, like, it wasn't the Bengals that stopped him. It was Trey Smith. Poor Trey Smith. He was like, I'm just trying to find someone to block. And Travis is like, well, the short screen is supposed to get me in the end zone. So he's a yard short, right? Hey, finally, Patrick's like, okay, I kind of figure out what I have to do here in the fourth quarter. I got to move around. Kingsley's having some struggles. Let me throw it to Travis on a little scramble, you know, drill. And that goes for 41 yards, and it's never in the box score because Kingsley Suamata'i gets called for a holding penalty. And I don't know if I totally agree with Tony Romo when he says, look, he saw Logan Wilson sort of crashing down in that red zone throw where he just sort of dirted the ball on accident. Because I think he wants to give Travis Kelce a chance, particularly in the red zone. But hey, it happens. Even on Wanya Morris's touchdown, Travis Kelce is wide open. And you can see on video Travis going, hey,
It's more fun to throw it to Wanya in that situation.
Yeah. Okay, that's right. That's what the play is designed for. It's not really designed for me. So I do want to ask Travis, like, were you ad-libbing on that play? Because you were just as wide open as Wanya was with the, you know, are you anticipating that, hey, because he's eligible, they actually might cover him, so Patrick needs an outlet, so I might be the secondary option. But, dude, I'm so wide open. Okay, it's fine. Wanya scores, yes, it should be Wanya's day. It's okay. But yeah, I mean, he's doing fine. He's not running like super intricate routes yet, but I also think the play calls really haven't been designed for him, and that's okay because he's healthy. The Chiefs have gotten 2 wins, and he's got what, 15 more of these games to get 1,000 yards. I think he'll be fine.
Nate Taylor
of The Athletic joining us, our Chiefs insider. We appreciate it. We'll get you in studio next week, man. And at that point in time, we'll see if we're talking about 3-0 Chargers Chiefs.
Yeah, I really hope it happens because Jim Harbaugh, man, I salute you. He is the – you can tell when coaches are intentional, stick to their discipline, and, you know, get the help from the schedule where it's like, hey, guys, all we got to do against the Raiders is not do anything dumb. Hey, you know what we got to do against the Carolina Panthers?
Even less.
Hand the ball off. Hand the ball off, son, and hand it off again. So, you know, they get the Steelers this week. I'm sure they'll do a very similar game plan. But yeah, salute to Jim Harbaugh, who's actually got – no one's talking about Justin Herbert, and that's fine because Justin Herbert might be like 14th on the list right now. But they're not even asking them to win games because they actually have a smart coach who knows how to win football games with the talent around the quarterback, not putting all the burden on the quarterback's shoulders.
Thanks, Nate. Appreciate it, man.
Yep, anytime.
There you go. Nate Taylor from The Athletic. And, yeah, we know Harbaugh running the ball. Greg Roman, the OC, running the ball. Well, Dobbins and Gus Edwards. And next week we could be talking about Chiefs 3-0 and Chargers 3-0 going to game out in L.A. when we know Arrowhead West basically is what it'll still become. I don't care if the Chargers are 3-0 or 2-1. Doesn't matter.
I do think that they have adopted Jim Harbaugh's personality, but like some of the stats I just don't know. You know, right now, EPA per pass, they're number one in the league on defense. EPA per rush, they're number one in the league on defense. So they are a hard-nosed defensive team for the first 2 weeks. They faced Gardner Minshew and Bryce Young, who's now been benched, and they'll face Justin Fields this week. I have no idea how good their defense is. And by the time they face the Chiefs, I still won't know.
It's not just another day.
But that's
it. It's today.
And today they are 2-0.
Well, kudos to them again. They were a laughingstock before, and at least now they have an identity.
Up next, we're going to get to what's trending, and then back into one thing we didn't see for 2 years with this football team, and we've already seen it once, and it's already a...
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between.
upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Great sign.
What's trending?
Number one on what's trending, we've been talking about it throughout the day. That is that Kareem Hunt, former Chiefs running back, is in Kansas City. And as we just detailed in our conversation with Nate Taylor, the expectation, if all goes well with testing today, that he's going to be signed and is expected to go to the practice squad initially and then work his way up. And at some point, maybe week four against the Chargers could be active. But that's where things stand for the Chiefs. Also, Patrick Mahomes going to join The Drive exclusively at 3:15 today for his weekly visit right here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan.
Next up on what's trending, the Royals tonight against the Tigers, trying to get that magic number down as they barrel towards the playoff. Currently sits at 8. It'll be Cole Reagans on the mound. He'll go against Casey Mize. Casey Mize got a 4.7 ERA. Cole Reagans obviously significantly better than that. And for gold's sake, I think he wants 12 to 14 strikeouts tonight.
I think I need
Cole Reagans.
Man.
What do you need, like 12?
Well, it's going to be tight.
What's the number that
tight
makes it close? Because Tarek Skubal, who is currently pitching in that race as well, he's going tomorrow against Kansas City.
So the strikeout leader bet preseason, I was 80-1 for Reagans. Right now, Chris Sale has 219. Dylan C. says 215. Skubal 214. Reagans 211. So I think I need 10 for sure.
10 at least.
I think I need at least 10 tonight. I think he's going to end up losing it by like 4 when it's all said and done. A 10 plus strikeout outing puts me back in the mix. He's going to finish top 4 guaranteed, but can he get to number 1?
Really, most importantly, can they get the win tonight?
That's right.
Don't go into this series having lost the first two. Tigers are now only 3 games back of where you stand in the playoff stance, and they got Skubal going tomorrow. Tonight's a big one for the Royals. They actually need to get the win tonight so they don't have to sweat this thing tomorrow.
That is very true. Next up on what's trending, an update on where things stand in Missouri for sports wagering in November. Of course, Missourians will have a chance to decide if they want to legalize sports wagering. There's a new poll out today from Fox 4 and Emerson College that of 150 likely voters, 52% said they would vote yes on that ballot measure, 25.3 said they would vote no, and still a large number unsure, 22.7. That's just a poll, right? But it's always interesting. It's all we have to go off of right now just in terms of talking about it. But November, folks will have a chance in Missouri to decide if they want legal sports wagering or not.
We do. I speak for everyone on this matter. And we do. Next up on what's trending, not surprising news, but Mike Tomlin, in a meeting the media today, said Justin Fields will start against the Chargers this upcoming Sunday. Said, quote, "We're readying ourselves around Justin. We'll stay in that mindset until something happens. Hypotheticals are a waste of time." He said that as a result of people were saying, well, what happens when Russell Wilson is healthy? He spent this whole offseason telling us how Russell Wilson was your starter. He was reportedly almost ready to play the first week of the season. Now by week 3, they're really babying this injury. If Justin Fields goes 3-0, I don't care how healthy Russell Wilson is. He's not the starter anymore. Justin Fields is going to be the starter until things start going south again.
Right.
I don't know when they will, but Justin Fields, Wally pipped him until further notice. We'll see.
And because of that defense, even though Justin Fields, it's not like he's put up any impressive numbers or anything. They've barely scored any points. He's going to continue to have that opportunity. I'm with you. I mean, Russell Wilson, he knew the minute that Justin Fields was starting week 1 that there's a good chance he doesn't get his job back.
I mean, he's only owed $1.3 million from the Steelers, so they don't have to feel some obligation to do it. I'll say that.
That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. So we were talking to Nate Taylor just about Travis Kelce, and he's with you and I, and the fact that he was getting open on Sunday – those opportunities are going to be there. I'm not worried yet. Now, we'll see the next couple weeks if it's the same story. But so far, the production is not there, but it's not as if he's struggling to get open. And just the ball wasn't going to him so far in two wins. One thing that is back in this offense for the first time in 2 years is passing the ball down the field. We knew that, but in particular, a 40-plus yard through the air touchdown. Mahomes threw a 44-yarder to Rashee Rice. We all saw that on Sunday. That is the first time this year we've seen it, and the first time since the 2021 season. He did not have one in 2022 or 2023. I'm not talking about yards after the catch. He had multiple touchdown passes, were yards after the catch.
He threw it
in the air.
40 plus yards
in the air for a touchdown. It happened on Sunday, and it's the first time it's happened in a couple of years. That's a big development. But without Hollywood Brown, Worthy, we all assume, would be that guy. But maybe Rashee Rice can be not only a player in the middle of the field. We saw week one, he was in the slot, and he carved him up in the middle of the field. And in this game against Cincy, when the offense as a whole struggled, they only had 150-something yards passing. That 44-yard pass, that was just something we had not seen in a long time.
Some of this is the Tyreek Hill effect. I don't think we need to go back and revisit whether or not they made the right decision. That's nuts. They've won two Super Bowls in a row. Clearly, they made the right call, even if we hated watching what the wide receivers offered last year. This is the average length of Patrick Mahomes' touchdown passes by year. 2019, 17.3 yards in the air per passing touchdown. In 2020, it was 13 yards in the air. In 2021, it was 8.5. In 2022, it was 4.5. Gold, do you hear these numbers? It's the ever-shrinking number. In 2023, it was about the same, 4.5. And now this year, he's got at least one passing touchdown of 40 or more yards. I think this speaks a little bit to where defenses have gone in the league. I do think Mahomes has looked more regular in the regular season than we're accustomed to, but it doesn't stop him from doing magical things in the postseason. So I've come to accept that a little bit. But while you're going to miss Pacheco and you don't have Hollywood Brown, you have to be able to score that way sometimes. And to take off 2 years and still win the Super Bowl is incredibly impressive. But the way to win three in a row, right, the way to do things historically that other teams haven't done, I do think that you need this card up. I think you need this card up your sleeve. I think you need to be able to play it every once in a while. And that's why I feel good about it. I don't think he's going to have 10 more of these this year, Gold, although he did throw more than 40 of these from 2018 until 2022, or up to 2021. And then so he threw like 10 a year for 4 years and then just stopped throwing them. I don't think he's going to have 10 more of these, but three or four times this year total, including the one to Rashee Rice, okay, then it's a threat. I think that's why they targeted specifically a guy like Xavier Worthy. They wanted the ability for some guy to just lose a couple of times this year to Xavier Worthy, and for him to be standing 60 air yards or 52 air yards away from Patrick Mahomes when that ball's released.
That was the story in camp. that was the story that was told in camp. We mentioned it a ton of times while we were up in St. Joe, that every practice there were these opportunities. So yeah, it was why they drafted Worthy. It's also why they brought in Hollywood Brown. It's just unfortunate he's not going to be available to reap the benefit of that. But they knew they had to get that back involved in this offense. And yeah, I know, as you said, of course they won the Super Bowl. Doesn't mean you're not trying to make life easier. We heard Patrick Mahomes in the offseason say they didn't have fun in the regular season. And a lot of that had to do with the frustration. And that connection to Rashee Rice was so big, because I think it also shows us that, all right, that's there for Rice as well, not just going to be underneath the guy. I think that was what was big for me.
Did you see Xavier Worthy was open on the right side of that one too?
I didn't.
If you go back and watch, and I just, it's always the same thing. Both of those worked, right?
Beautiful.
But both, like, Xavier Worthy was essentially running the same route as Rashee Rice down the sideline. He was also open. Now, that Rashee Rice pass was maybe to a eighth of an inch perfect. I mean, it was... I can't imagine a more perfect throw than the one he threw there. He hit Rashee Rice in a full dead-ass sprint and missed the defender's hand by what? A half an inch, Gold? To hit him in perfect stride for that touchdown? Yeah. And deep passes are tough because you are trying to hit a guy running 20 miles an hour down the sideline of a field, sending it deep enough that he can catch it, not too deep that he can't catch it, not too far under that he just makes the catch but can't get the touchdown, or too far under that he can't make the play at all. So those touchdowns are not typically easy to come by. Those air yard touchdowns are more than that. But it's also because teams have been playing so far back on the Chiefs for so long. That worked in that game because they immediately committed to Isaiah Pacheco. And I know that touchdown was early, but they were willing to call Cincinnati's bluff, in my opinion, and actually do this thing. Don't you think? They're willing to actually run the ball 30 times, which they pretty much did against Cincinnati.
No, and I think now with the situation in the backfield, with Pacheco's absence, you know, when we were discussing that with Nate, like, I don't think you're going to be able to go in any game, though, the rest of the year now and think you're going to be probably effectively able to run it 30-plus times anymore. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, so much of this is going to be dependent on what does Carson Steele do with the bigger opportunity even on Sunday, and then what does eventually Clyde look like if he comes back after week five, and then we know Kareem Hunt's maybe going to be in the mix if they sign him today, and that's the expectation. That changes a lot of this, too. We really just don't know what the running game is going to look like anymore the rest of the year. I mean, it could be great still. It could be all, like, we really don't know. It is unproven guy after unproven guy, just in terms of the question mark. Carson Steele is totally unproven. Kareem Hunt is off the street now. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is dealing with, obviously, with his personal issues that you don't know if he's available one week or the next. And Samaje Perine, we know what he is. He's a receiving back on third down.
Mm-hmm. And he's good at that, and that's fine. The Clyde stuff, or the Clyde stuff is maybe the most interesting development here, but to come on here and pretend like I have any guess whether or not Clyde will be available in 2 weeks, just not accurate. And honestly, I don't want them. This is very similar to me as the Tua situation. If this is going to be a detriment to your mental health, or it's going to cause these problems to be more prevalent, well, then you shouldn't play football. And I don't know how he feels about that as he continues to work through it. But it's like, I don't want to rush Clyde Edwards-Helaire back just because Pacheco's back. That's why they're going after Kareem Hunt. That's why they're putting this whole band together, trying to figure out whether or not Kareem Hunt can still add for it. I meant to ask Nate, because that's still the most fascinating thing to me. It's like, what did Clark say when you said, when Brett Veach walked into the office and he said, hey, I'm thinking about giving Kareem a call. What was that call like? Was it just like, okay, cool, sounds good, water under the bridge? Or was there any kind of like kickback on like the, ooh, man, I said some, he betrayed us, you know, he lied to us, that's why he's out of here. It was a group decision, that's why he's out of here. Like, to have said those things on camera and then bring him back is always kind of like a kind of a crazy feeling, you know? We'll see. The offense is still okay. I do not think, this is the problem. Do you think that there's still a top five offense this year? The Chiefs right now? You know Isaiah Pacheco's going to miss at least 2 months?
Here's why I say yes somehow, despite all the injuries, is only because we're going to talk about this more tomorrow, where everybody else is in the NFL. Like, it's, you know, the standard of being top five 2 weeks into the season is not as maybe drastic as we thought. I think it levels out. But tomorrow we're talking about red zone offense on the show. And yeah, the Chiefs have struggled in the red zone. But right now, only 9 teams have converted over 50% of the red zone drives into touchdowns. Last year through 2 games, it was 20. So it's just down across the NFL. I mean, points per game, the Saints are averaging 45 points per game. That's obviously not going to keep up. But the Chiefs are at averaging 26.5, our first, second, third, fourth, sixth best offense in football points per game right now. And there's a huge chunk of the league that is averaging right around 18 to 22. You know, like, what I'm saying is, like, it's not an insane number. The Saints are going to come back down to earth at least points per game. They still sure. might have a good year, but they're not obviously going to average 45 points per game. It'd be the greatest offense in NFL history. So that's...
You don't think they're going to average it?
I don't.
Dude, that would be the biggest upset of all freaking time if Derek Carr led the most prolific offense in NFL
history. Don't think they're going to average 45 a game. So no, you know, the injuries stink and it hurts them. But right now, the reason why I'm still holding out hope that it's possible, while unlikely, is because nobody else is running away with it. You know, it 2 weeks in, offense is down in the NFL. If you're wondering what points per game the top five offenses are, Saints, Cardinals, Bills, Bucks, and Eagles.
I would guess 2 of those teams are in the top five at the end of the year.
Who are the two?
Buffalo. Okay. I mean, they've been a top five offense pretty much this entire time. And Arizona would be the only two.
See, I think the Saints are going to still end up as a top five offense. I mean, I don't know if they're going to
45 points.
I don't know if they're, well, yeah, but even when they come back to earth, like, I think in that division and with what they have with the offensive coordinator now and Clint Kubiak, I'm not telling you they're going to win 13 games or anything, but I don't think it's crazy that they can't be hovering around the top five for much of the season. In terms of points per game, they're not going to be a fifth best team in football, but offense, I could see it.
Maybe. I just think it'll only be two.
I mean, right now their defense is top eight because they're just destroying everybody, but.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the Chiefs technically are bottom four. Oh, well, I'm sorry.
Let bottom me, 10.
Points per game. Take that back. The Saints are fifth in points per game given up. The Chiefs actually are right 19th, in the middle of the pack. 20th. Yeah. Middle, back half.
Because they're letting up, what, 20 points 20, a game?
22 and a half. But they're also a half point away from being, you know, I mean, they're how quickly this can shift.
They've also faced the Ravens and the Bengals versus the Chargers, who have faced the Raiders and the Panthers.
If they hold the Falcons to 17 points, all of a sudden the Chiefs are right, you know, they jump 12 teams, you know. So everything shifts so drastically. We're in that early portion of the season where it's like baseball where the batting average, you know, you have 1-4-4 day and all of a sudden you're batting at
700-900.
Yeah, I mean, we're at that point where the stats still shift so quickly in terms of points per game, yards per game, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Okay. Yeah, I just don't. I'm not concerned yet. I was just asking if you still thought they're a top five offense. I still think they're a top 10 offense without Pacheco and Hollywood Brown, because I still do think their offensive weapons, even as it currently sits, are better than what they had last year. My bigger concern is offensive line play. Can they get enough stats, put up enough points, or are too many drives going to be ruined by offensive line play? After week one, I'm like, okay, not bad. You start benching left tackles, I got to have questions. I still think Kingsley, as Nate said, I still think he'll start.
I do as well, and they still have the interior of the offensive line that's as good as anybody in football.
It's the best in football.
I saw some of the PFF grades, and we always take those with a grain of salt anyway, but yeah. I think Tooney, Creed, and Trey were like three of the four or five best graded players in the game or something on offense.
Yeah, that's right.
Not surprised, right? Yeah, I mean,
those guys are pretty good.
You know what you're going to get.
Yeah, so you got to chip sometimes, you know? And that's, again, where Kareem Hunt or other veteran backs come in. Like, we talk all the time about, like, can Kareem Hunt still carry the ball for 4.5 yards? Can Kareem Hunt pick up Max Crosby? Can he chip him on the backside? I'm almost as worried about that as I am his ability to run 5 yards downfield at this exact moment. I need Kareem Hunt to be able to pick up a third down, pick up a second down blitz in which Kingsley's getting beat on the edge, or Juwan Taylor's having a little bit of trouble, or they do actually run a stunt and get some pressure up the middle. Because some of these long developing plays, those air yard plays that you and I just talked about, those are only coming if that's the case. By the way, for those who were worried, remember last Friday I told you I'd gotten an email that said I had been rejected from the hot dog derby race. They sent me a gift box. On Friday, I'm good to go. I'm in the race. Golden had a mustard jersey, a shirt about the hot dog derby, my racing bib, like with a number.
Racing bib.
Oh, yeah, nice. Number 1739.
That'll be a garage sale for another 0-for-4 performance.
Came in this very fancy box. It came with a mustard hot dog keychain, a mustard stuffed animal, and all kind, or a hot dog stuffed animal, and all kinds of stuff, you know? It was a full swag box full of mustard hot dog related stuff.
I think you should put something up for this, Cody. If you find a way
to win. Put something up again. No, if I find a way to win, I was like, again?
If you find a way to win, something has to be given up. I don't know if it's by us or the show. I'm just saying. If you find a way to do this.
He's 0-for-3 in the hot dog derby. How many more chances do we need to hear and see?
I think that's fair.
I'll never give up. Never give up. I already told you, I made my stance known on this show. I will race in that damn race until they either tell me I am banned and no longer allowed to race, or until I get a win.
I think I have in mind what you should be asking for if you win the whole thing, if you win both races. But again,
He'd offer me anything.
Yeah,
he's not winning. Tell me tomorrow, I'm curious.
Not winning both races.
Oh, I think it's simple, though, what you ask for. Like it's not even a big
Drew
thing.
Drew wants company with bets, because on Friday he's getting his hair cut and bleached.
I do.
And that's happening in studio on Friday.
Yeah, it's going to be
fun. Who knows? Maybe we'll bring a stripper in and Cody can finally pay off his bet.
Wait, in studio?
On Friday.
Does that count?
Oh, it definitely would. It'd still be letting you off way
too
easy. We'd
have to probably put something over the glass.
No, you wouldn't. She's not going to be nude
to God,
in here.
This setting would be way worse. Way worse.
Worse?
Of course it'd be worse. I'm at work.
He's trying to
My bosses are here. Way worse.
I do
strip club. That's where their clothes are supposed to be off.
Conceivably, I do think it would be.
Their clothes wouldn't be off in the studio. It would probably be humiliating.
I don't know. You'd be so flustered.
What if she came in studio with a swimsuit and that's what she was wearing, and she gave you a dance?
Don't like it.
You got to pay off the bet eventually. We'll figure this out. We're back at it tomorrow.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.